Pat Heller, who's the owner of Liberty Coins. Pat's also an expert on the world monetary market, and especially as how it relates to the U.S. dollar. Pat, how are you?
Great, Tony. Good morning.
Thanks for coming in. A couple things. Let's start out first. How often is the U.S. dollar used in international transactions?
Well, if you go back 20 years, it's pretty much dominated the market. Over 90% of trades between countries were settled in U.S. dollars. Statistics I saw last year said it was down to about 60%. And I saw something last night that I have not yet been able to backtrack to its source, saying that has now fallen to 35%. It's possible it could be that low because China and Russia, India, Brazil, South Africa, for instance, are explicitly concluding deals with each other to eliminate using U.S. dollars in trades between their countries. For instance, last week at the G20 Group of Nations meetings, China and Brazil representatives met and concluded a deal to exchange $30 billion of currencies between the two nations so that they don't need to use dollars anymore. Unfortunately, as the dollar is less useful, you might say, as a reserve currency around the world, that means more dollars that used to be outside of the United States that were sent overseas in payment for services and goods are now coming back to the United States and having to be redeemed for something.
What is the dominant currency in the world?
Well, the U.S. dollar still is, but it's sinking. If the euro wasn't in so much trouble financially, I suspect the percentage would have gone lower by now.
What happens now that major U.S. banks have had their credit downgraded? What's that mean?
The actual event has already occurred, but it's now that the general public is kind of getting clued in as to what's going on. Effectively, the banks really are insolvent. If the interest rates went up at all from near zero levels, they would be bankrupt. It's just the way things are. So any misstep by the United States government or a decline in demand for the U.S. dollar overseas, for example, would put a lot of pressure on the large banks to even survive. Unfortunately, the U.S. government seems bound and determined to make things even worse. On Thursday this week, that's the deadline that the United States government imposed on various countries to stop trading with Iran and not use U.S. dollars for trade. And Iran specifically is trying to do trade without using U.S. dollars. Some countries are using go-betweens. They're trying to do finesse things. A specific requirement is they have to stop using the Central Bank of Iran for transactions. And China is a 20% importer, or there are 20% of Iranian exports is what they absorb. They're trying all sorts of runarounds to technically not do business with the Central Bank of Iran, yet still be able to maintain their use of the SWIFT international settlement system. That's what the punishment is if you're not complying with U.S. demands.
What would happen if the euro was dissolved? What's that mean for Europe? What's that mean for us here?
It would be extremely difficult. All over Europe, contingency plans are being drawn up on what to do if Greece leaves the euro. And the kind of plans include bank holidays and restrictions and currency controls, capital controls, so that people can't take their money across borders, can't take it out of the bank, even though a good number of Europeans have already taken their funds out of banks in anticipation of just such an event. When the banks, in effect, don't have any money, they'll be insolvent. And a lot of their debt is held by U.S. banks, and you could have a domino chain that could bring down the whole banking system around the world.
All right, here we are, less than 5 months from the presidential election. From your perspective, where is our economy headed?
Unfortunately, it's in the wrong direction. The way to cure it would have been to let deflation occur, to have prices fall, to have the U.S. government repudiate some of its obligations and debt. And unfortunately, that means things like future payments for Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, other retirement benefits, and people holding U.S. government bonds. It would devastate the U.S. government's credit rating in the world, but it's a lot less painful to do that in the shorter term and let things start from scratch and go uphill. The last time the U.S. government really acted in that way was in the Depression of 1920, which nobody ever hears about because the economy got straightened around so fast and then had great growth through the 1920s that people don't talk about it. Unfortunately, there's no politician today that's willing to even think about going those directions.
Should Mitt Romney be elected, how would the economy change?
Unfortunately, I don't think it's very important who wins the presidential election because they both are pretty close to the same message of not looking at the fact that, well, for instance, USA Today reported last month that the actual accrual basis 2011 budget deficit was $5 trillion for the federal government. Neither Romney nor Obama are acknowledging that number. Virtually no member of Congress is willing to own up to that number and address it. So as long as politicians aren't even willing to face reality, you can't have a cure.
Pat Heller is the owner of the Liberty Coin Service. Pat, thanks so much for coming in.
You're welcome, Tony.